Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What is this life all about? That's a question that many young people today may wonder about and even debate about on college campuses. They may debate it with their colleagues, their friends, the college professors, and even with their families when they go home. Perhaps you yourself have tried to answer what this life is all about in your past. Or perhaps you may even be struggling with that answer today. There are many parts to this question, too. What is this life all about adds to it. Who am I? How do I know anything? What is power? What is good? Today we'll begin discerning the answers to these questions. You must first realize that you are no longer living the same life as those around us. You have been reborn in Christ. You are living a new life, just like anyone else who has come to faith. But for those who have not been killed by the law and drowned in the waters of holy baptism, they will continue to search for answers, but they will never reach the answers that we have in God's Word. Today we are not looking at Doubting Thomas, yet what is written on the back of your bulletins is a good place to start. Down at the bottom on the back of your bulletins where it has the about the cover, this is what it says. Jesus says that people who have not seen but still believe are blessed. Who are these people? They're us. Perhaps the sights and sounds of creaking pews, shuffling pages, and crying babies mask the spectacular work of God that happens on a typical Sunday morning. But God is blessing people wherever His Word is preached and believed. This morning we join our fellow Christian brothers and sisters as they witness God's work among them, done by the apostles after Jesus' resurrection. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we will recognize that with them, we share a new life, one based in and around God's Word and the receiving of His sacraments. Please turn with me to our first reading text where we'll join our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Signs and wonders were done regularly among the people by the apostles, and the numbers of believers increased. But it was not these signs and wonders that created the faith. It did not create them then any more than it does today. It was the hearing of God's word and the receiving of the sacrament which created and sustained faith as the Spirit of the Lord God saw fit. How do we know this? From the fact that they were all together in Solomon's portico. We hear it also in Acts chapter 3 that they were gathered together in Solomon's portico there as well. It was a regular meeting place for the Christians to gather and to hear God's word. Now Solomon's portico was right there in the midst of the temple, even though the apostles had been threatened to stop speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. When our text says that none of the rest dared to join them, it means none of the Jews dared to join them and to interfere with their services. Instead, the people held them in high esteem. And apparently some of them, or others from even outside of Jerusalem, had heard of the preaching and teaching of the apostles, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Now, no doubt, there were distractions in the temple, just as there are in churches today. Yet the ones coming to faith, and the ones being kept in the faith by the hearing of the word, by the working of the Spirit, they were not focusing on the crying of babies or the bleeding of sheep or anything else than God's word. In other words, they were not despising preaching in God's word, but were holding it sacred and gladly hearing and learning it. While there was no outward distinction between them and the Jews, since they were gathering to worship in the same place as the Jews, There was certainly a distinction in what was being taught and preached. The apostles were preaching Christ incarnated, crucified, risen, and living again. And by preaching and teaching these things, the Spirit was adding to their number, the number of those who believed daily, to the new life that we share. The people gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. The people from not only Jerusalem, but even the neighboring towns were coming in droves to hear the gospel. But not the high priest and the Sadducees. They were not holding God's word sacred and gladly hearing and learning it. Rather, they were despising preaching and his word by not allowing it to be proclaimed. On top of their preventing of the preaching of the gospel, they added to it the sin of being jealous over the apostles' apparent fame. Do you, dear friends in Christ, hold God's word holy and sacred and gladly hear and learn it? This doesn't mean that you keep your Bible dusted off so that when the pastor visits, it looks perfect and perfectly clean. It means opening your Bible and reading it. It means coming to hear the word preached and taught on a regular basis. It means coming to hear the word joyfully. Of ourselves, we would never have this desire. But we are no longer our own. Our Lord Jesus has given himself up to death for us and has claimed us as his own. He called our names at our baptism. He has called you, and you are his child. You were God's child in and through Jesus' work of redemption. You were taught that and all about your new life in him, in God's word. So we no longer avoid God's word, but as saved children of God, we eagerly desire to hear and learn it and receive it. His word, which teaches us all that we were, all that we are, and that we are God's children. Not of our own works, but of the works of Jesus Christ. Satan and the world would indeed our own flesh would try to prevent us from hearing this wonderful news, this wonderful word. But God doesn't permit them to win. Even the high priests and Sadducees were unable to keep God's word from being taught to his children. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." What is this life all about? It's about the life and salvation that we have received in and through Jesus' death and resurrection, through our baptism, and which is maintained through continuing to hear his word and receiving his sacrament. It's about how God took on human flesh in his Son, Jesus Christ, how he was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life in our place, and was betrayed for each of us. It's about how Jesus was separated from God for every sin we have ever committed, every good thing we have ever omitted, and because we are nothing but poor, miserable sinners, even by nature. That's what we were. But now, by Jesus' death and resurrection, we are God's children. Now life is all about serving God and serving others. It's about coming and hearing his word and receiving his sacrament so that we might be kept in the one true faith to life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.